Football Weekly is on the air.
This is Wayne Larrabee with Hub Arkish. Welcome to Pro Football Weekly, an in-depth look at professional football this week. Hub has the week off. We're joined by Arthur Arkish of USA Today.
You know, a couple teams have bid farewell to potential Hall of Famers. And Jimmy Garoppolo, is he sliding up charts as perhaps Johnny Manziel is sliding down?
We'll find out just ahead on Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
Welcome to Pro Football Weekly. This is Wayne Larrabee. Hub Arkish is on vacation, and we're joined by our regulars, Arthur Arkish of USA Today Sports Weekly and Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. Well, fellas, free agency is upon us. March 11th, Tuesday, teams can actually start negotiating with free agents starting Saturday. You know, when you look around the landscape, a lot of talk. The cap is up by $10 million this year. A lot of teams have a lot of room under the cap. And Arthur, let's start with you. Just in general, how active do you see these teams? What kind of a season are we expecting here?
It's going to be fascinating. You just said it. There's going to be a lot more room to maneuver. And at the same time, you know, we've got a handful of teams here we'll discuss later in the show with just a ton of space to make some moves. And at the same time, you've got executives around the league saying this is one of the deeper drafts they've seen in years. So, you know, I think there's certain teams. There's always the GMs that are going to be gung-ho and get in there and try and make the splash signings. And I think you're going to see some of the typical teams who are a little more reserved go the same route and kind of certainly try and fill some needs, but also focus on this deep draft and making sure they can make some hay there.
Eric, before we get into specifics, a couple of teams have had to make some really difficult decisions, some tough moves just to get under the cap. Everybody's got to be under the cap at the start of the league year. You know, a little bit on Pittsburgh and Dallas, they've had some interesting decisions to make on players, haven't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously re-signing Troy Polamalu and guys like Keith Miller, you know, it's nice to keep the core intact, and they did have a really old team last year, but boy, I mean, in some of these circumstances, you have to look at what they've been doing, you know, moving money in the future for Tony Romo, Polamalu, et cetera. You know, these teams, I think, are just kicking the can down the road, and they're going to have to face these problems a year from now and 2 years from now. Even if the cap does go up by a factor of 7 or 10 or $12 million, these are still issues that they're just putting off into the future. And so, you know, the term restructuring is nice for fans and media reports and all that stuff, but yeah, these teams have done a lot of long-term damage as well.
Let's talk a little bit about specifics then. Arthur, you're based in Chicago, as is Eric. Devin Hester out at Chicago. They decided they're not going to re-sign. The guy who has Hall of Fame numbers as a kick returner, but very little else, Champ Bailey, who will be in the Hall of Fame someday. Denver does not have room under their cap for him. Talk a little bit about those two guys and where they might end up.
Well, you know, first with Devin Hester, and I think you said it, outside of his kick return skills, which are still solid, he still was in, I believe, the top five in kickoff return last year, was still productive for the Bears, but clearly doesn't have that extra gear anymore, isn't going to bring him back as consistently. He's obviously on the cusp of breaking that record. He needs one more return touchdown to eclipse Deion and be all by himself at the top of that list. Immediately, you connect the dots. Lovie Smith, his former coach in Tampa Bay, we'll see if there's as much interest from Lovie as Devin has sort of intimated there could be, you know. And then in case of Champ Bailey, I'll kind of send it off to Eric, but I expect there to be plenty of suitors. Yes, he's 36 years old. Yes, durability is a concern, but he brings a lot of intangibles to the table, and I think when he's still healthy, he's still pretty effective. What do you think, Eric?
Well, yeah, and one more note on Hester, too. I mean, positional flexibility was a problem for the Bears, and the fact that he was strictly a returner, did not play wide receiver anymore, was not a defensive back as he occasionally practiced as. That was just something they couldn't afford to bring with them. Now, Lovie Smith or some other coach may decide, hey, we're willing to put that value on special teams and give him a deal. He will land somewhere. As for Bailey, you know, I'm a little bit more bearish on his chances of finding a great situation. You know, watching him in the playoffs, yes, he played very well in the game against the New England Patriots, but, you know, the Super Bowl and the loss to the Ravens a couple years ago, you know, that he looked out of position, didn't look like a top-flight corner anymore. I don't know that he can play nickel, so, you know, maybe he goes the Charles Woodson route and becomes a safety. I mean, I think there will be teams interested, and certainly the Broncos couldn't do it at that salary, but I'm a little leery about his possibilities.
All right, always controversial and on some level are the tags that are issued by the different teams, franchise tag on Jimmy Graham down in New Orleans. Anyone who signs Graham to an offer sheet would have to, you know, pay two first-round draft choices to the Saints if the Saints elect not to match the offer. Greg Hardy down at Carolina. Arakpo, the linebacker of Washington. Folk, the quarterback of Philadelphia. Any surprises in these tags, Arthur, that you saw?
Not any huge surprises. I know the Redskins were really waffling on what to do with Brian Arakpo. I guess perhaps it's a surprise only because that tag number at that position is so large. So we'll see. Of course, this just gives them some more flexibility. It gives them some time to make sure they can attempt to work out a deal. I would imagine that's what all these teams are going to be doing. In the case of Greg Hardy, Jimmy Graham, obviously these teams didn't want to let these guys get away, and we knew how many other suitors there were going to be. Sure, go ahead, put the tag on him, but someone else is going to come knocking on their door. It's two first-round draft picks. We don't see that happen very often. But not a ton of surprises here, and I suspect that these teams will continue working, trying to get something done long term.
The other factor of this time of year is some teams re-sign their veteran players. Troy Polamalu, as Eric mentioned a moment ago, signed to an extension to push off some of that salary cap responsibility for later on for the Steelers. Brent Grimes re-signs. And then you take a look at a guy like B.J. Raji. As we record this program, Raji's signing with Green Bay a one-year deal for $4 million this year. Incentives could push the contract up to $6 million. If the Packers go ahead and do that for 1 year with Raji, it's almost like tagging him, but at a cheaper price. It kind of beats the system a little bit, Eric, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, it's kind of fascinating to see what this year might do for him. And I think there are a lot of other players we saw with Michael Bennett last year, Cliff Avril, talented players who had to take 1 year deals. That's why, you know, it is interesting to look at Grimes, for instance. And I think he's going to set the corner market in terms of what better ranked players like Alteron Verner and Aqib Talib might get. I mean, $8 million per year sets it pretty high. Raji's a guy who's looking for future money. Some of these guys are going to get big money real soon in this corner market.
Well, yeah, and you look at the cornerback situation, and Grimes does set the market for a guy like Sam Shields, whom the Packers would like to have back, but they don't know if he's an $8 million, $9 million, $10 million cornerback right now. I mean, you know, you look at his situation, the upside, he's a young guy, Eric, but, you know, how productive is he? $8 million productive? Is he $10 million? What is he? We're going to find out in the market.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, early in his career looked outstanding, looked to be a breakout type player, struggled a little bit. I thought came back with a pretty nice season last year, but, you know, that inconsistency will leave some people in Green Bay thinking maybe he's not worth that $8 or $9 million price tag you're talking about.
Coming up, we've got news from Pro Days around the National Football League, and is Johnny Manziel sliding in the upcoming draft? We'll talk about it next. You are listening to Pro Football Weekly. I'm Wayne Larravee. Hub Arkush has the week off, and we are joined, as always, by Arthur Arkush of USA Today Sports and Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. You can read Eric's reporting work at shutdowncorner.com. Well, guys, you know, we're in that season now where the combine is over and the athletes have pro days. Ohio State will have a pro day, Northwestern, et cetera, on down the line. Different pro days where guys will work out for the scouts. Eric, you had an opportunity to attend a pro day at Northwestern, but the lead story out of this pro day on Tuesday was Eastern Illinois quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. He made that trip to Northwestern. He apparently impressed some people. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Northwestern allows some of the local kids to come in and work out, and it just so happened that Jimmy Garoppolo, who went to high school just down the road, was by far the biggest NFL prospect there. And so, you know, he and his teammate Eric Lohr are probably the two most draftable players there. 31 of the 32 teams were there. Bill O'Brien worked him out, Garoppolo out before the day. And I got to watch Jim Harbaugh, interestingly enough, work out Garoppolo as well. And, you know, you may be saying to yourself, why would Jim Harbaugh be talking to a guy who could go in the first or second round when he's already got a quarterback in Colin Kaepernick? But they've got a lot of draft picks, and, you know, there is the question about Kaepernick's salary. And I'll tell you what, Harbaugh and he spent about 45 minutes together throwing and talking a lot of time. And when I caught up with Jim, he said, look, he knew all about him. He knew about the upset of San Diego State. He knew about almost beating Northern Illinois. He said he'd followed him all 4 years. So this was somebody he had a very close eye on, and I thought he did well in both the pro day workout and also the throwing session with Harbaugh.
You know, when you look at a quarterback like this, I mean, he came in, I think, what, just over 6'2 1/4 measurement at the combine, but he's a pretty athletic guy, isn't he?
Absolutely. You know, they ran the Baylor offense there, which was, you know, throwing the ball 40 times a game, up tempo, getting on the line quick. You know, it was mostly shotgun. He rolled out a lot, though. I mean, he was on the move. Not a scrambler, per se, but somebody who moved well in the pocket, really worked on his footwork over the 4 years of starting. So, you know, he's 6'2". He kind of flicks the ball, and some people have said his quick release is both a negative and a positive. Doesn't always follow through. That's one of the things Harbaugh mentioned. But, yeah, athletic kid. I think he's going to work well in a pro-style system if he works on those pro-style throws. The two throws he badly missed on were the 17-yard out and the deep comeback, and those are things that he just simply wasn't asked to do in college.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look, Arthur, at the different quarterbacks in this draft, the biggest name is Johnny Manziel. Ron Jaworski, the ESPN analyst, came out, a former quarterback of the league, guy who studies the game and studies film, very critical of Manziel. But John Gruden, another ESPN analyst, former head coach of the National Football League, very high on him. So, you know, I wonder, where is Manziel in this draft? Is he sliding a little bit from what you've heard?
You know, it remains to be seen, obviously. And it's funny to hear you say that. Just two guys who work in the same booth so closely together, it just goes to show you this is obviously the most polarizing guy in the draft. It makes sense that even these two guys who work so closely would be totally split on him. But it's not as easy as to say, you know, Jaws is an old school guy, because you remember he was over the moon with Colin Kaepernick just a year ago at this time. So I think what this boils down to is that it's what's your flavor? Everyone's going to have a different preference. Some teams are going to be totally bought into the whole Russell Wilson, the shorter athletic type that in a lot of ways Johnny Manziel is comparable to. And then other guys, you know, prefer the more classic drop back passer. And is he able to function in that sort of way? And we're still going to find out a lot more as this process rolls along. But we were talking about a little bit off the air. I still find it hard to believe someone, there's a lot of quarterback needy teams there in the top 10, that someone's not going to bite on a Johnny Manziel, a guy with so much upside. And then on the other side of it, we talked about a couple of reports have come out. Do the Raiders prefer Derek Carr? Cleveland Browns, with a new front office now. Of course, the old one was supposed to be so in love and attached with Manziel. Do they prefer Derek Carr? Of course, the Jaguars had Derek Carr on their Senior Bowl squad. So there's some interesting, external factors at play here. We'll see how they all unfold.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, Eric, you know, when you look at these different franchises and what they need at quarterback and how, you know, well, quarterbacks, are they always overdrafted in that, you know, maybe Derek Carr might deserve to go middle of the first round or late first round, and he might go higher than that because of the need that's there?
Yeah, when I talked to a scouting director mid-season, mid-college season in October, November, he said when it's all said and done, Derek Carr is going to be a top 10 pick. Now, it's been a little bit of a slower rise, but we saw the same thing years ago with Philip Rivers. We saw the same thing in the strike or the lockouts, pre-lockout stuff of 2011 with Christian Ponder getting jacked up too high, Jake Locker going eighth overall. So it happens. There are times when need prevails, and you know, I think that very well could happen with Cardinal. I don't think he's in that same category of guy, but I absolutely believe he's going to be somewhere up in the draft. And you know what? He's more of a quote-unquote sure thing than Manziel is. And the team that drafts Johnny Manziel is going to have to remake their offense around his strengths, because you're not making him into a pocket passer. So that's both the risk and the excitement with Manziel, whereas Carr and Blake Bortles and Teddy Bridgewater, more of the classic pocket guys, are a little easier to tail your offense around.
Coming up, we start previewing free agency, division by division, team by team, when Pro Football Weekly returns. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. I'm Wayne Larrivee, and joined today by our correspondents, Arthur Arkush of USA Today and Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports. Now, the start of free agency, Tuesday, March 11th, so the new league year begins, guys. And let's start breaking down some of these teams as we go across the NFL. We'll start in the AFC East, and the team that gets a lot of talk, Arthur, is the Buffalo Bills. They've got people they need to sign. Jarius Byrd is a three-time Pro Bowler, and he's out there supposedly as we tape this program. They're an interesting ball club, but obviously they're in that division with the New England Patriots. Can the Buffalo Bills keep their own and keep pace with the others in that division?
Well, you mentioned the headliner name is Jarius Byrd, but we have to point out that they did just give a bunch of money to another safety. Aaron Williams just got a 4-year deal. So it's looking more and more like Jarius Byrd is not going to get what he's looking for from the Bills, and therefore is going to become, I would have to think, the highest ranked safety in free agency for, you know, a number of teams that are going to be looking to address that position. You know, elsewhere for the Bills, you know, I think linebacker, we say it every year, of course, they got just terrific contributions from the rookie Kiko Alonso, but they do need help elsewhere. They're talking about moving him to the weak side under Jim Schwartz, so they're going to have to improve there. There are other areas of need for the Bills. They're going to have a little bit of money to spend. We'll see how they go and address it. You know, just moving along in the division, the Miami Dolphins, after the offseason they've had, they really could use some good pub. I think that, frankly, rebuilding the entire offensive line, there's a possibility, you know, if they go into the season without their center, who, of course, is going to be perhaps subject to lead discipline, they could have five new starters along the offensive line. They're going to have a lot of money to spend, but we know what happened with them last year in trying to spend a lot of money. It didn't exactly pan out too well for them. Elsewhere, the backfield needs work as well. Lamar Miller has shown some promise, but they need some other guys who might be able to tote the rock a little bit more. They're going to need some running backs as well. You keep moving down the line in the division, the New England Patriots, not quite as much money to work with. Definitely going to have some needs. You know, I think right up the middle of the field on defense, they're going to have to get stronger. We saw what happened to that run defense when they, you know, lost Vince Wilfork, when they lost Jared Mayo. We know Brandon Spikes isn't going to be back, so I think that's an area that they're going to have to improve. And whether they look to the draft, which is, you know, going to be really, really strong for wide receiver, or they try and go out and get one of these big-name guys, you know, like an Eric Decker or someone along those lines, there's some other big names. We know that Tom Brady is, you know, going to need some more help. They've been kind of putting that off and sending people in the wrong direction for years and not bringing in wide receivers. And then lastly, the New York Jets. I think you look at the offense, the defense exceeded expectations, of course, under Rex Ryan last year. The Jets need playmakers, whether it's going to be Geno Smith, whether they're going to go out there and get Michael Vick. They're going to bring in a veteran quarterback to challenge Geno, but regardless of who's under center, they need some people to throw the football to. That wide receiving core is really weak, and they just need some more explosive playmakers along the offense.
Eric, in the AFC North, the team with the most money to spend, the Cleveland Browns, just over $56 million in cap space.
Yeah, kind of a dangerous proposition, isn't it? The most unstable team with the most money, pretty much. So they and the Raiders are going to be the big spenders, you'd have to think, in the free agent market. Do they go after a safety and let T.J. Ward go? Is Jarris Byrd a possibility with Mike Pettine coming on as head coach? Knows him well, obviously. I would spend more on the offensive side of the ball, but they also have three of the top 35 draft picks, too. So there's got to be a balancing act. You know, they got to re-sign Alex Mack, their center. So there's some big decisions to be made. Just as there are in places like Pittsburgh, we talked about early in the show, all their cap issues. How much can they add to their team this offseason, you know, without a full draft class? They're missing their third-round pick. So that's an issue for the Steelers. They're getting older on that side of the ball. Baltimore Ravens have to redo their offensive line, center, left tackle if Eugene Monroe's not back. So, you know, a couple issues for them. Depth at cornerback is probably something they want to look at. Wide receiver. I don't know how big of players they're going to be in free agency, though. It kind of makes me think that they would probably punt and look more towards the draft. And then you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who they've got some money to spend. I think Michael Johnson probably will walk in free agency, but, you know, they have needs. I know they want to take care of AJ Green and Andy Dalton long term, but when you're that close, when you don't have any pressing issues, you may want to go out and get one more player to help push you over the top.
Coming up, the AFC South and West free agency previews when Pro Football Weekly continues after these messages.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
Welcome back to this off-season edition of Pro Football Weekly. Along with Arthur Arkish and Eric Edholm, our regular correspondents, I'm Wayne Larrabee. Hubba has the week off, and we continue with our preview of the NFC free agency, or should say the NFL free agency season coming up. We've covered the AFC East and North. It's time to look at the South and West. And Arthur, let's start in the AFC South. You know, the Houston Texans lost 14 games to finish the season a year ago, but they're far from a destitute franchise in terms of talent. They've got a lot of talent. They also have a high pick coming up in the draft, the highest, matter of fact. But what is their plan in free agency? Will they augment what they have coming in that draft with some free agent activity?
Yeah, they're going to, you know, they've got enough needs where they're certainly going to have to supplement the draft with some moves. You know, the obvious position is under center. They need to solve the quarterback position. I'm still one that thinks that they're more likely than not to do that in the draft. I see them passing on Jadeveon Clowney. We'll see what happens. But assuming that's the case, another area you look at is the defense does have some playmakers, but it did slip in a major way last year. And they're going to need some renovations there for sure. You got a couple key defensive linemen, Earl Mitchell and Antonio Smith, both free agents. J.J. Watt, you know, the most destructive defensive lineman in football, but he does need help. And those are some unsung guys. Antonio Smith has consistently been one of the more underrated players in football. So if they're going to let him walk, he's getting up there in age. They're going to definitely need to address the defensive line. And, you know, the offensive line can use some work. That's sort of slipped a little bit in recent years as well. You talk about the Indianapolis Colts, Ryan Grigson, really struggled a little bit in free agency last year. He was very, very aggressive, and I think that most would agree that he didn't quite get the returns on his investments that he was looking for. I think that it starts in the secondary for the Colts. Definitely have some major question marks there with Vontae Davis, who's going to get paid somewhere. Whether that's with the Colts or elsewhere remains to be seen. Antoine Bethea has just been an absolute rock for them in the defensive backfield for years. He's a free agent as well, so there's going to be some starters potentially on the way out. They're going to need to get a little bit younger there and going to be looking for some reinforcements, and it seems like every year we talk about how the Colts offensive line needs improvements. That has not changed this year. Elsewhere in the division, the Jacksonville Jaguars, throw a dart. They need help everywhere. There's no doubt about it. Of course, quarterback needs to be solved. It seems like they've been looking for a pass rusher, you know, year in and year out. We'll see what they're going to do in the draft. Of course, what they does in free agency is going to decide that. The Jaguars are a team that has a lot of money to spend. We'll see how Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell elect to do so. And then the Tennessee Titans, another team that's undergoing some major changes. It just seems like a matter of time until Chris Johnson is released, unless they're able to come to a different resolution. But assuming CJ is not going to be back, they're just going to need some explosiveness in the defensive backfield. Sean Green does not fall under that category. Of course, they've spent so much in remaking the identity and trying to be a more smash-mouth football team. They need to have the running back to be able to do that.
Eric, three of the four teams in the AFC West made the playoffs last year. Of course, Denver getting all the way to the Super Bowl. Kansas City and San Diego also in the postseason party. The Oakland Raiders were far behind. But in terms of salary cap, they're way ahead of their division foes with almost $65 million in cap space. That would lead me to believe they're going to be very active in this particular season of the offseason.
Yeah, I fully expect them to be. I mean, obviously some of it is taking care of their in-house guys. Jared Veld here, their left tackle. And really all four starters on the defensive line, Lamar Houston, Vance Walker, Pat Sims, and Jason Hunter, the four guys who started for them last year, all up for free agency. You'd have to think Houston would be the highest priority of that list. So I think they're going to get most of their in-house stuff done. Tracy Porter, the corner, also has to be high on that list. Charles Woodson had a pretty nice year for them last year. So they've got some stuff to take care of in-house, but you can bet they'll be looking for, you know, possibly a wide receiver. I think quarterback can wait till the draft. I don't think there's anybody they're really going to be all that excited about. You know, then you look at the other teams in the division. Chargers just spent big money on Donald Butler. They've had to release a few players to get in decent enough cap shape. I don't think they can be all that active, but they need to find a nose tackle, some interior line help as well on the offensive side. You know, the Denver Broncos just said goodbye to Champ Bailey. They're up against it with Peyton Manning's number taking up such a huge portion of the cap. They won't be real busy in terms of signing other free agents, mostly taking care of their own guys. And with the Kansas City Chiefs are in a tough spot here because I think they stand to lose both Brandon Albert and Jeff Schwartz from their offensive line, maybe John Osemoa as well. You know, they got to find a safety, a wide receiver, some backup help, and especially that offensive line. I think that's really going to be the biggest issue for them this offseason.
Coming up, the NFC, when this free agency edition of Pro Football Weekly continues. We continue with our postseason edition of Pro Football Weekly, and we are taking a look at the free agency preview for the NFC. Let's start in the NFC East. And when you look at the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys, they always make news, whether they have money to spend in free agency or they don't. And as we record this program late this past week, the Cowboys were struggling to get under the cap. They're barely under the cap. A lot of talk about DeMarcus Ware. Let's start with the Cowboys, and what can we expect from them in this particular portion of the offseason?
Wayne, whether or not they do release DeMarcus Ware, and we expect that if they can't come to an agreement on a restructured contract that they will, I think the top need for the Cowboys has to be rebuilding that defensive line. They made the switch last year to a 40 front. They need more penetrators. They need more youth. They've got some aging free agents, some guys in their 30s, and Jason Hatcher and Anthony Spencer. Remains to be seen whether they're going to be back or not, but I think they definitely need an infusion of youth up front. It all starts there. They could also stand to improve at safety, and they're always looking for more weapons to help Tony Romo, but I expect the focus to be on defense.
New York Giants, the big rival of the Dallas Cowboys, they were solid defensively last year. Despite the 7-9 record, they got off to a terrible start and really finished the season fairly strong. But offensively, Arthur, do they have some questions in that offensive backfield?
Yeah, I think they sure do. David Wilson, former first-rounder, his future's really up in the air with that neck issue, so we're going to have to wait and see there, but a running back could be a position where they could stand to improve for sure. I think they're in the process of rebuilding that offensive line. Gave some contracts out that didn't exactly pan out for them last year. Another area that they could look to improve. And then, obviously, Eli Manning had way too much pressure on him last season. We saw how he responded not very well his worst season as a pro. If Hakeem Nicks gets away, I would have to think they need some more help, some more running mates for both Victor Cruz and a developing Reuben Randle, whether that's at wide receiver, whether that's at tight end, where they've been unable to adequately replace Martellus Bennett. They do need to improve.
Philadelphia Eagles actually won the division. Re-signing wide receivers Riley Cooper and Jeremy Maclin means Chip Kelly's high-powered offense should be operating on all cylinders next year. They also did extensions for Jason Peters, the offensive tackle, and center Jason Kelsey. Where are they looking for help? And, you know, the thing I had when I saw them down the middle, deep in that secondary, they need help at safety, don't they, Arthur?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that they've had a kind of an underwhelming cast of characters. Patrick Chung, Nate Allen, you know, guys that I guess you can get by with, but not guys that you're going to look to for playmaking ability. I think that Chip Kelly, more than anything, would like to, you know, kind of match up that explosive offense with a defense that has the ability to make some plays. There are going to be some interesting safety candidates on the free agent market, and T.J. Ward and Jarius Byrd. The Eagles could be one of those teams that might look to pounce on one of those guys.
Only the Vikings allowed more points in Washington in 2013, so the prospect of adding a fresh defensive lineman, maybe a safety, somebody who could make a play out there defensively, I would imagine would be at the height of their priority list. The Redskins are back in action in terms of free agency after paying a $36 million cap penalty over the last two off seasons. Now, Arthur, I understand franchising Brian Arakpo, the great outside linebacker, takes up a large amount of general manager Bruce Allen's cap space, but how active do you think these Redskins will be?
Well, it depends a lot on what they're able to do with Arakpo. I would expect they're going to try and get a long-term deal that does kind of help that cap number for this year improve a little bit. But you said it, the defense just an absolute nightmare. Much like the Eagles, they need help up the middle of the field at safety. They do need to get some more playmakers along the defensive line. And then if you're going to have it, that much investment in RG3, you better have the pieces around them. They could use another wide receiver to pair with Pierre Garçon, and they could always use a little bit more protection for RG3, especially along the interior.
Let's move to the NFC North Division. The Green Bay Packers, they don't do a lot in free agency, pretty much is the history of Ted Thompson. He's made some good free agent choices over the years, a number of them, but not a lot in terms of the volume. This year, things could be a little bit different. The Packers' defense needs upgrading, and there's no question it needs upgrading from the standpoint of perhaps some veteran people. Therefore, the Packers may be active, looking at safety as a major need for this team ever since Nick Collins' career ended with that neck injury. They haven't replaced him in that secondary, at least not adequately in that regard. They also have come to terms, from what we understand as we tape this program, with nose tackle B.J. Raji, who's played pretty much at defensive end for the most part in the 3-4 alignment. Moving him back to nose tackle may be something that could rekindle him. They have agreed, from what we understand, a one-year, $4 million base contract. Incentives could bring that contract up to $6 million this coming year. But the Packers could be more active in free agency this year than they have been, and they do have about $35 million under the cap. The Minnesota Vikings are another team. You know, you talk about the Vikings, Arthur, you keep thinking about, well, they need a quarterback. They've got to get this position figured out. But actually, the Viking defense really fell apart last year.
Yeah, just terrible. So, you know, whether or not they go for quarterback in the draft, which I fully expect them to, I think the defense needs to be just as large of a focus. It starts up front. Kevin Williams, you know, just a stalwart, is still productive, but is getting up there in years, and they're going to need to find some reinforcements. Sharif Floyd was a little bit disappointing last year. Jared Allen, a free agent. Everson Griffin, a free agent. Where's the pass rush going to come from? Definitely some question marks there. Cornerback was also a really rough spot. Chris Cook does not look like a number one guy. Xavier Rhodes showed a lot of promise, but they absolutely at least need to get a nickel, so the defensive backfield needs work.
Detroit Lions, roughly $2 million committed to wide receiver Calvin Johnson and quarterback Matthew Stafford. And again, as we talk about these cap space and all this other stuff, it's not just about this year, folks. It's about next year. For example, in Green Bay, they're concerned about coming to terms with Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson. And that's part of their thinking in terms of how much money they're going to be able to spend this year in free agency. The Detroit Lions have to be thinking about eventually signing all-pro defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. So that may take up some cap space that many people think they could spend this year. It'll be interesting to see where they go. They've got some core players on that defense, but they need some help in the secondary and the outside. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears, a lot of changes, a lot of free agents going into the offseason, Arthur. How will they look and what will they deal with here?
You know, as of this taping, the Bears led the league in re-signing their own free agents that were set to hit the market next week. So they've already had a lot of movement, but they have a lot of work left to do. Much of the focus will be on defense, of course. Going to need some bodies. Frankly, they need to get stronger up the middle of the field at defensive tackle, at linebacker, really every position. They could stand to upgrade on that defense, and they're going to have a little bit of room, assuming they get rid of Julius Peppers.
Next up, the NFC South and West free agency preview when Pro Football Weekly resumes. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. I'm Wayne Larrabee. Hub Arkush has the week off, and we're with Arthur Arkush of USA Today previewing a free agency coming up in the NFL that starts this coming week. In the NFC South, New Orleans Saints, Arthur, made a pretty big move, obviously, by hanging the franchise tag on tight end Jimmy Graham. It's a $7.1 million commitment for 1 year, and that eats up a chunk of their cap space.
Yeah, it sure does. We'll see. You know, obviously they're going to try and come to terms on a long-term deal. Otherwise, they could have a real fight on their way deciding whether he should be paid like a tight end or a wide receiver. But, you know, elsewhere on that roster, I think most of the upgrades are needed at defense. Of course, they made major strides last year under Rob Ryan, but there's work left to be done, especially at cornerback where Jabari Greer is a free agent who did tear his ACL in December. Don't know what you're going to get from him. They did cut Roman Harper, so they're going to need upgrades at both cornerback and at safety. And then offensive tackle Zach Strief is a free agent who's been really solid protecting Drew Brees. They don't know if he'll be back.
Carolina Panthers had one of the better defenses in the league, and of course they also hung a tag on Greg Hardy, their great defensive lineman. Now, where do they go from here to keep that defense together, Arthur? They're going to be pressed because they're a little over $7 million under the cap right now.
Yeah, I expect the focus to be on the other side of the football for Carolina. They did get the sort of surprise announcement of Jordan Gross's retirement. He's been so good for so long. They're going to need to find a way to replace him and make sure they've got Cam in as good a position as possible. And then if you want to put Cam in as good a position as possible, you need to get him more playmakers. Steve Smith, obviously not getting any younger. Greg Olson, kind of just a guy. They need some people who can stretch the field, some people who can do it, who are going to be around for a little bit longer. So wide receiver is certainly an area they'll look at.
St. Louis Rams been making improvements under Jeff Fisher, and now in this offseason, they don't have a lot of financial room to maneuver. And, you know, they've got a pretty high-priced veteran in Scott Wells at center, whom they signed 2 years ago. Cortland Finnegan at cornerback carries a fairly high price tag. Will they make some moves with those players to create more space to bring in new blood, or what do you expect?
I do. Right before our taping, actually, Cortland Finnegan was shown the door, so that's definitely going to give them a little bit more flexibility. They do have some young corners they've drafted in recent years that they're very excited about. But safety, the last line of defense, there's playmakers all over that defense, but it does look like an area where they can improve. I think, again, we talked about it elsewhere, a couple really intriguing safeties. We'll see if the Rams could be another candidate to go try and get one of them.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers situation. Again, they go into a new regime with Lovie Smith down there. Might they be in the market for like a Devin Hester at a bargain rate?
It's interesting. You know, I think it's become a bit of a luxury in the NFL, a guy who doesn't really have a whole lot he can offer outside of in the, you know, special teams game. But, you know, Lovie Smith, the guy who gave him his first shot, and Devin seems to think that's a possible landing spot elsewhere. They need more pass rush. I think that, you know, the defensive-minded coach is coming in. He's going to want to bring in a few more toys. So I think that, you know, that's an area they'll be looking to improve, is getting some heat off the edge.
Talk a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals in the best division in football, the NFC West. Arizona made great strides defensively last year. In the offseason, Larry Fitzgerald, the outstanding wide receiver, restructured his contract that allows Arizona a little more room under the cap, and Mike, they make a run at an offensive tackle.
They better, because Carson Palmer doesn't offer a lot in the way of mobility, and we know how the other NFC West teams can bring the pressure. So yeah, I think that offensive line and running back Rashard Mendenhall has hinted at a possible retirement. It kind of seemed like he was retired anyway, didn't really offer them much last season. They really need to improve and get some more explosiveness on offense.
San Francisco 49ers, you know, again, they've had some, they're starting to lose some guys off of that defense now in terms of free agents, but where are they looking in the free agency period, and how active will they be?
Well, I think cornerback is the area that San Francisco is going to focus. It looks like there's still not a lot of holes on that defense. You're right. There have been some drop-offs, but corner is the one clear area where I think that they could stand to improve. A few of their own guys, Terrell Brown is a free agent. Chris Culliver is still coming off the injury, so I think corner is definitely an area to focus.
Let's move on to the world champion Seattle Seahawks. How active will they be in free agency? They've made some good pickups in the past.
Yeah, they've been, you know, John Schneider has found a way to be just as good in free agency as he has been in the draft with moves like Michael Bennett and Cliff Avril last year. It looks like Michael Bennett's going to get away. Still could stand to add to, you know, some pass rush. The defense obviously is in pretty good hands. Could always use some more receiver help. No one really stands out in that part of the field. And then the offensive line, I believe they're standing prepared to lose one starter at right tackle, and can definitely always stand and improve with the protection.
Free agency begins Tuesday in the NFL this coming Tuesday. Stay tuned. The Publisher's Pen is next on this postseason edition of Pro Football Weekly. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly. Here's this week's Publisher's Pen with Arthur Arkush filling in for Hub. Art?
Thank you, Wynn. As all our listeners know, the NFL is at its height of popularity. It's become a 365-day-a-year product. We've spent the duration of this show mostly talking about free agency, which, of course, is upon us next week. You've got the draft pushed back into the first week of May. You had the combine in the rearview mirror. It stands to reason why the hype would be greater than ever for free agency this season. Fans are excited to see the first opportunity for their teams to try and improve, try and swipe players away from other clubs. But this is, you know, seemingly our annual caution to the fans that you don't often win NFL championships with your checkbook. It's about strong drafting. It's about smart, prudent decisions in free agency. There's been too many cautionary tales in recent years. You've seen the Miami Dolphins, Philadelphia Eagles. You see Daniel Snyder almost every year taking out his checkbook and spending, spending, spending. It's not always the best approach. So what I would say is that the teams, the most stable franchises in the NFL, are still the ones who trust their personnel evaluation. They trust the players on their own roster. I think you're still going to see the NFL may be changing, but some of the best teams are the ones who are going to reward their own players, use free agency more as a supplement, and draft the right way, the strong way. Those will be the most consistent model franchises moving forward.
Thanks very much, Arthur. That'll do it for Pro Football Weekly this week. Randy Meyer is the producer engineer of Pro Football Weekly. Pro Football Weekly originates from the studios of Syndication Networks in Chicago, Illinois. Now for Hub Arkush, Eric Edholm, and Arthur Arkush, this is Wayne Larrabee. We'll catch you next week on Pro Football Weekly.